You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for biohacking women over 50. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, digital nomad, certified sports nutrition, and breathing coach. I'm the author of the Longevity Master Plan, the cookbook Eating for Longevity, and a new upcoming energy reboot program for women over 50. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and I would really appreciate it if you could please leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help others find us too. This is a really small but very critical gesture that makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast for older women, help us grow stronger, get our voice out there, and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. This episode is sponsored by Oxford HealthSpan, the creators of my favorite supplement, Primadine. I admit it, I am a total supplement junkie, but if I had to choose only one, it would be this one. And it's because Primadine is spermidine, and this is shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. Now, this is a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. So as we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and waste, which isn't good for our cells, our health, nor our longevity. So we need to clean it up. And if you want the research on this, go to oxfordhealthspan.com and you can see all of it, showing how spermidine supports our brain, our hormones, and our heart health. And another great side effect is stronger hair, skin, and nails, but also longer eyelashes. But, you know, the real important reason why I love Primadine is because I have never, ever received as much feedback on a product I recommended as I have with Primadine. Literally every week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time, it's about improved sleep. And even some of you told me it's reversed a bit of your gray hair too. So I find that totally amazing. So I can honestly say with 100% certainty that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, on oxfordhealthspan.com. Just be sure to get back to me with your results too. Now enjoy the show. Before we start the show, I am super excited to announce that we're having another group menopause energy reboot class starting October 1st, 2023. Now, this one is about optimizing energy. So if you're tired all the time and want to learn how to hack it, then this program is for you. Now, you can join me and 20 other fabulous women from around the world to go through this four-week program together. And we get to meet each week live on Zoom to answer your questions and keep you accountable. And if you grab a spot now, you can get a discount of 15% off with the code Early Bird on the hackmyage.com website, where you're going to find the Menopause Energy Reboot Program. But you got to hurry because this offer is good only until September 20th. Now, the women who already went through the program not only got more energy, but as a byproduct, they got more muscle and strength. They burn more fat. They sleep way better. They feel more in control, and they learned what to expect in this menopause transition and then how to hack their way out of it. But if you can't wait, you can also follow the program on your own without my guidance and just go at your own pace. This program is also on the hackmyage.com website. And if you got questions, just shoot me a message on the site and I will have links to all the programs in the show notes. So now let's get started with the show. Okay. It's a total honor to welcome a true trailblazer in the world of health and wellness to our podcast today. None other than JJ Virgin herself. She is one of the first voices I ever heard on a podcast. And I can't even remember how I found her, but it was somewhere around 2016. And I was looking for answers about fitness and nutrition for women over 40. And she was there to give the simple truth and put the science into words that at the time I could really understand, while also giving real practical advice to show
to show me how to implement her tips that were the little hinges that swing the big doors. That's her quote. And I was inspired by her to dive deeper and learn more about nutrition. So I became certified as a sports nutrition coach and now fast forward into a gerontologist. So thank you very much.
I did not know that. I'm sorry. I'm blowing right into the introduction. Holy smokes. That's cool.
It is cool. And it gets cooler. Hang on. Or you guys are listening, I am pretty sure you already know JJ, but if you don't, listen up and start following her and her podcast now called Well Beyond 40, which has over 1,000 episodes and over 17 million downloads. JJ Virgin is a triple board certified nutrition and fitness expert. And I would also add biohacker to that list. JJ is a passionate advocate of the healing power of nutrition, and she is on a mission to change the way the world sees aging and longevity. So you can see why I like her so much. And she has launched 3 multi-million dollar businesses and founded the Mindshare Collaborative, which is the most influential professional community in health. She also launched more New York Times bestselling books, PBS specials, and 7-figure brands than any other community. So she is literally on fire in her 50s and now 60s. And if you're in the US, you may recognize JJ from TV. She co-hosted the show Freaky Eaters and was the nutrition expert for Dr. Phil's weight loss challenge. She's also been on Dr. Oz, Rachel Ray, Access Hollywood, and The Today Show. She's also an international speaker and has shared the stage with the biggest of the big, like Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk, and Dr. Mark Hyman, just to name a few. So it is really a huge privilege to have her today. But wait, I'm not done yet, because this warrior woman will be talking about her new book, Proteins, Sugars, Women in Menopause, and how this impacts peri and postmenopause. And she's also an authority on this topic and literally wrote the book on it and more books on it. So you want to kind of take a deep dive with her further in her New York Times bestsellers like The Virgin Diet, The Virgin Diet Cookbook, JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet, and JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet Cookbook. And she also has an amazing book called The Miracle Mindset, which shares the powerful lessons in strength and positivity that she learned after her 16-year-old son, Grant, was the victim of a brutal hit-and-run accident and nearly died. Now, I'll have links in the show notes to these books and all of JJ's amazing social media channels on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, where she has such a huge impact with millions and millions of views. JJ is really an authority on health, wellness, and leadership, and she's transforming the lives of millions of people around the world. So do you think she's qualified to be speaking with us? Hell yeah. So now, without further ado, let's meet JJ Virgin. Welcome.
Thank you. And this is going to be intel. This is like sneaky peek stuff, because my next book's coming out February 2025.
Oh, wow.
I am deep in. I think what people don't realize is they think you write a book and the next week it's out, right? You know, and they don't know that years you live it, breathe it, like you're obsessed with it. And this is actually, I'd say I've been obsessed with what we're going to talk about today since the early 80s.
Wow. And by the time it comes out, I mean, you'll be evolving and rewriting probably the book go throughout the year, because the science changes.
Yeah. Well, there's just so much great research coming out. I feel like, you know, I started out in this world as an exercise physiologist, and I feel like exercise is finally getting its due as probably the single biggest biohack that you can do, mm-hmm. right? If you mm-hmm. want, like, the single biggest longevity biohack is to do the right types of exercise. It's incredible.
Exercise is really the magic bullet for so many things. But I would like to get a little specific on, what does that even mean? Is walking enough? Is yoga enough? Right? I want to tell you, like, I've just been listening to you for so long, and you really have impacted my life. So I must give you a big thank you for all that you do.
That just makes me say, words of affirmation are my love language. So I'm like over here having a, like, you know.
Oh, it's more is coming, and likewise. So, but now, even with your mission to change the way we age, the way, you know, the way that you're going to try to impact longevity and disrupt aging stereotypes, this is like, makes me even more in love with everything that you do. So I am right there with you. And we're going to keep in mind the audience that we're who are listening right now is a woman going through this menopause transition and peri and postmenopause. So I think we're going to talk about sugar. We're going to weave that in as well. But I really want to hear your take on all this research that you've been doing now in speaking to this woman. And since we started with exercise and building muscle, like, what are your tips for a woman in this phase to do?
First, it's the mindset tip. You know, it's funny, Zora, when I went to write Miracle Mindset and I was taking it to the publishers, they're like, but you're a diet book author. I go, every book I write starts with mindset because that's the thing that's going to help you take action. And I found this, actually, I found it from my buddy Mark Hyman, was talking about how people who are excited about aging live 7.5 years longer than those who aren't. And I'm like, okay. And yeah. Then I heard that it was
Dr.
like
Dr. Becca Levy. She's a gerontologist.
It's so good. So this was like, I don't know, 8 months before my 60th birthday. And I went, okay, I am going to be in my fittest, best shape of my entire life at 60. What do I need to do? And went and did a DEXA scan, started really like tracking. I started the program that I'm going to talk about today is what I did. But basically now I'm 11% body fat, lifting heavier than I've lifted in my life.
Well, and those arms, if you're on YouTube, like so check out those arms.
So the big mindset shift is, again, to get excited about this. But bigger than that is, you know, this whole aging gracefully paradigm that I want to blow up. It's like, forget it. Forget aging gracefully. You want to age powerfully. And if you've been listening to this podcast, then I know, because I've been listening to your podcast, which I love. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
You know, I hear these things about, and everybody's heard it, that, you know, as we age, we start to get anabolic resistance. We start to lose muscle. And one of the big things I've been talking about since the early 80s is that we need to not focus on losing weight. We need to focus on what that weight's made up of. And especially as we age, because if you aren't, and especially if you try to diet, like in my mind, no one should ever go on a diet unless they are actively managing their body composition, resistance training, and eating protein first, because otherwise they are going to lose lean mass. And when you're 40 plus, if you lose that lean mass, you may never get it back again. And that devastates your metabolism, right?
How is it that you say they don't, you never, once you lose the muscle mass, you may never get it back?
It's just so much harder. Let's be honest. It is way easier. Like in your 20s, way easier to put on muscle. Hormone driven, way easier. You don't have to worry about, you know, hitting your leucine threshold to trigger muscle protein synthesis. Like then all of a sudden you start to get in your 30s. Now it's not. Now you have to ensure that you are getting in that 2.5 grams that Dr. Donald Lehman, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, great research on that trigger of leucine to trigger muscle protein synthesis. You got to make sure that you're doing that, especially with that first meal of the day, to stop the muscle protein breakdown that we all go through, because our body is in a process all the time of breaking down muscle and building it up. And that is why muscle is such expensive tissue. That's why if you really want to get off a diet roller coaster, the biggest thing you ever do is focus on building muscle. It is the mission critical thing. It's where we can start to restore insulin sensitivity, because if you are insulin resistant, higher fasting insulin, you will never burn fat. You're going to always struggle. So I look at it with women, and we need a big mindset shift. We need to, like, literally, because I just had to have surgery, yesterday I had to go in and get on the scale. And I go, this is so dumb that you go into a medical facility and they have you find out your weight. We have got to stop focusing on weight. We've got to start focusing on what that weight's made up of. Because your weight, if you're 150 pounds and you've got 20% body fat, is very different than if you've got 40% body fat. One person's metabolically healthy, one person is not. And looking at weight doesn't tell you anything. So the very first important message to get out here is that you've got to know what your weight is made up of, especially as we age. Because in case in point, my husband and I went to get a DEXA, right? Because now we do everything together. And so now we're going to get me in my best shape for 60, because he's younger than me. And we both go to get this DEXA. Now, I get a DEXA scan, and this is a way that we've always known historically to look at bone mineral density, but you can also look at body composition. You can find out how much visceral adipose tissue you have, that's that fat around the internal organs that we know is more damaging and pro-inflammatory. It can tell you how much body fat you have. And more importantly, the two metrics that are so important is that visceral adipose tissue and your skeletal muscle mass. And there's a little name for it called appendicular skeletal muscle index. So we go to do this. Now, I'd done it at 39. I trained for this DEXA. I go in. I actually put on a little bit of weight. You know, I know that like strikes fear in women's hearts, but I was like, I'm going to eat a little more. I'm going to put on and I'm going to go in. I go in, I weigh 154 pounds, which is what I weighed at 39. And I had 13.9% body fat, which was the same as I had at 39.
Wow.
Wild. Because most people, and this is what happened to my husband. My husband's weighed the same amount, you know, his whole adult life. He goes in. And he gets the DEXA done. Now, he weighs what he's weighed his whole adult life, like 180 pounds, and he has 25% body fat. Now, first I'm looking at that going, that's got to be wrong. But he always looked a little bit fluffy. He works out, right? But he wasn't going to track his protein like I asked him to, and he didn't really push himself the way I told him to. Wasn't doing his high-intensity interval training that can burn that bad fat. And this is why DEXA is so great, because now I'm not the naggy wife. So he looks at the DEXA, right? And I'm like looking at it and I'm like, oh boy, because women have 10 to 13% what we call essential fat. That's fat you have to have on their body. Men have only like 3 to 5%. So he should not have had more body fat than me. Like a woman, and I'm abnormally lean. I just always have been. Like I've been as low as 10% body fat. I didn't during that time of rapid growth in teens where people put on body fat. I was so obsessively doing gymnastics and ballet because I wanted to be a performer that I didn't do it, you know? So I have just naturally lean. Most women, if they are 18 to 25%, they're in their sweet spot, but not men. For men, it's much more in the 10 to 18% range. And by the way, Zora, when I was at USC in doctoral work, we spent a whole semester just doing body composition testing, dunk tanking and calipers. And the norms we were taught back then are very different than the norms they have now, as if our physiology changed. It didn't. We're just trying to make acceptable to have higher body fat. But what we were taught back then is if you hit this certain number, now you're metabolically unhealthy. And I go with the numbers, those numbers, because to me, I know that if you get metabolically healthy, your body will be able to build muscle, you'll be able to lose fat, and that's what we want. So here he is 25%, right? Same weight as when he was in his 20s. Totally different body composition. That's why we have to know what your weight is made up of. A DEXA scan is so much more than just bone mineral density. And then you can equate it. You can get a bioimpedance scale for home, and then you can track at home with that bioimpedance scale that will tell you your total body water. It's an estimate, but it's better than just a scale. And you can use a tape measure with your height, and you can really get a good sense. Because if you're losing weight and not losing your waist, you're making yourself worse, not better.
I used to work in Hong Kong health coaching people, and a lot of my clients were Asian, thin, lean people. And I'd put them on a scale I had at the time. It was an Omron, and it kept showing this very high visceral fat. And I was so shocked because they were so lean. And visceral fat is the fat that's around your organs. And this is really dangerous to have high visceral fat. So even though you may look lean and thin, I think these scales are also great to give you some information as well, as, you know, with the body fat and sometimes water, muscle mass, but also that visceral fat, because you could be in a real danger zone thinking everything's hunky-dory just because you're thin, but you're skinny fat.
Right. I mean, and that's what he honestly was. He was a skinny fat. Now, here's what's interesting. In 6 months, now part of it was getting his testosterone normalized. So I would give that, you know, about 50% of what changed was that. Because for a man to put on, say, a pound of muscle a month would be fabulous. Women, that's about what we can do without some hormonal interactions. But in 6 months, he lost 20 pounds of fat. He put on 19 pounds of muscle. And what's interesting is, so his weight was the same, right? Completely different. Like he looks completely different. And I've seen that with clients over the years where they come in, I need to lose weight. And I'm like, actually, you don't need to lose any weight. You just need to drop some fat, put on some muscle. And I know that if we start by adding muscle, you'll start to become more insulin sensitive. Your muscle is a sponge. They all call it the metabolic sink. I think a better metaphor for it is this sugar sponge. Because your body will preferentially take those carbohydrates and bring them into your muscles where they are stored as something called glycogen, so that when you go do that exercise again, you have that quick fuel source. Because when you're doing hard exercise, everyone wants to burn fat when they're doing exercise. No, that's actually not correct unless you're doing long, slow distance exercise. When you're doing intense exercise, I wear a CGM to see how high I can get my blood sugar to go.
That's a continuous blood glucose monitor. Yeah.
I can use a lumen to blow out to see how high I can get my carbs to go. Because if you're doing hard exercise, you're not using fat. It's too slow of a fuel source. You're using carbs. It's super duper duper important. And then they're stored, and that then uses up the carbs in your muscles so that when you eat carbs, they have a place to go, which is fabulous, right? So think of your muscles as these sugar sponges and these metabolic spanks that hold everything in tighter and require a lot more energy to be on your body. That muscle protein turnover is an expensive process. So you've got better insulin control, lower insulin, because if your insulin's always staying elevated, not only is that creating inflammation, it's also locking the doors to the fat cells. So you can't use stored fat for fuel, which then, of course, then means you're hungry, even though you just ate. So this is like step one. And it's such a different thought than, you know, that I'm getting on the scale, did I lose weight? It's like, yes, it's kind of like watching grass grow when you're getting on scale trying to see muscle mass increase. It may take a month to put on a pound, but you'll know that it's going to happen because of what's happening in the gym. Mm-hmm. As you're getting stronger, you'll be able to see that stuff. And that stuff is so, it's so fun, isn't it? It's like so fun to go, all right, I'm like, you know, I was bench pressing just the bar and now I'm bench pressing 85 pounds. How cool is that? You can see legitimate results that you are improving.
I love this change in mindset, and it's what I start as well with my clients is in the same thing. I said, well, it's not about losing weight. It's about building muscle and it's about getting strong. And if we can shift the goals to something else, like I very often would suggest, okay, yeah, let's lift heavy and let's try to improve the amount that you're lifting. And let's like make that as a goal, or you want to, I don't know, climb a mountain or whatever it is that you want to do. And then the weight loss is a byproduct and they're not so focused on this number on a scale that's just can make or break your day. And I'm one of those people, if I go on a holiday, if I'm not training and not doing my thing, I lose weight. And then I go, oh shit, that's not a good thing for me, right? Because I understand it's probably muscle loss. And it usually is. I go home, check the scale, and I'm like, yeah, and that's okay. I gain it right back and I'm fine with it. So, but it is, it's, I would never believe I could think like that before growing up in the 80s.
I know, where you were like, oh my God, I like, you didn't care where the weight came from. Now we have to, because again, I kind of threw that statement out. If you start to radically lose muscle, now this isn't for someone who's, let's say, you know, got 50, 60 pounds to lose. But if you are in that, you know, 10 to 30 pounds, what you really want to make sure of is that you are holding on to that muscle as you're losing fat. Because if you're losing muscle, let's say that you, you know, you're sedentary, you lose muscle, it is way harder to get it back, right? Yeah. Than to just hold on to it, right? Or build it. Because naturally, as we age, we can lose up to 1% of our muscle every year up to the age 60, and then apparently it doubles. Now that's if you're sedentary, right? And you're not eating that protein first. I think the more damaging, scary part of that, because they always talk about how much muscle you lose, but that's the little bit of it. What really starts to happen, and I saw this happen myself. I was always the person in my household to open the jars. You know, my mom would go, open this, I'm opening the jars. And a couple of years ago, I was going to open a jar and I couldn't open the jar. So I handed it to my son. And then it was just like smack, right? And I went, oh my gosh, wait a minute. I can't open jars anymore. What is that? Because we know that grip strength is highly predictive of all kinds of death, all cause mortality, right? So with gait speed, I was like, well, this is really bad. I got to do something about this. And that doesn't mean you go like grab that little hand grippy thing and squeeze it all day long. I was like, what do I need to do to really make sure I'm getting my grip strength? But even more than that, because they say it's like up to 1%. Muscle mass, 2 to 4% strength, 6% power. That's the crazy part. And then it gets worse age 60, but you look at all that and go, but does it have to? It doesn't have to. You just, now that you know it, you have to train for that. And that's why I'm kind of on this, like, I'm sure the Pilates people will get mad at me, but Pilates, yoga, et cetera, that is not going to cut it. that's not going to cut it. You know, I had a friend going, but I'm doing Pilates. I'm like, that's nice. That's a, I call that like, you know, the frosting on the cake. It's a great adjunct, but that is not going to get you the strength, the hypertrophy, the strength and the power that you need. It's not coming from Pilates. It's not coming from something that you could do that move like 40 times, take a minute break and do it again. You know, that ain't doing it, right?
I'm so glad you mentioned the power and strength, not just sort of the hypertrophy, the muscle, building the muscle and just looking good. And this is where we go back to aging and go, well, why do we need this muscle mass? Is because we don't want to become frail and fall down. And we spent a whole class on falls at fall prevention when I was studying gerontology. And I was like, why are we talking about falls? It's like, you fall down, you get up. Like, what's the big deal? Until I learned why. And the statistics are frightening for the rate of mortality, the risk of dying within 6 months after a fall. So we really take this for granted when we're young and we're building muscle. We have it, we don't care. But once you start to lose it, you start to see it, like you said, the grip strength, you're like, ooh, that's kind of scary. Like, what's going on? You're not used to that. But I'm glad you pay attention and say, you know what, I got to do something about this. And I want everybody to do something about it. And it's not just about the muscle or the hypertrophy. We want to be able to lift our own groceries. We want to be able to move quickly across the street in case a car is going to hit us. And you,
right.
If you're, you know, if you're not, it's hard even to think about what we're going to be like in our 80s, right? When we're in our 50s or 60s, we don't really imagine that. We think we'll never get there, but if you're lucky, you will get there and you want to be prepared for it. So JJ, tell us about then. So I agree with you, the definitely strength training. We all have that. I'm wondering, is when we talk to a woman in perimenopause, more or less, her hormones are fluctuating all over the place. And I found that some of my clients were exercising like mad during their marathons or on the bike all day. And they're in this high cardio, right? Not doing the strength. And then they were, and I said, okay, well, let's add in a bit of strength training. And then I want you to do a little bit of Pilates or a little bit of yoga. I wanted their cortisol to come down. So I'm wondering what your thoughts on that. Like, what would be an ideal week of training for a woman going through perimenopause to build that muscle? And then after, we'll talk about how much protein she needs to eat, because she's not going to get it. She's not going to be eating the protein, or vice versa, just eating protein, not doing the exercise, right?
Exactly. And some really good supplements. Like I'm also on a mission to get every single woman on creatine. And I just, you know, I have one friend who's a doctor and I'm like, get on the creatine. She goes, I tried it and I just didn't. I'm like, would you get off the, like, I need to lose weight thing and please take the, like, what am I going to need to do here with you, Missy? What's interesting about exercise is so many different things. There's aerobic exercise, but within aerobic exercise, there's like going for a walk, there's zone two, there's high intensity interval training, and there's sprint interval training. Then there's resistance training, but in resistance training, there's resistance training for hypertrophy, which is different than strength training. That's straight strength and different from power training, right? And then there's, of course, more of the core flexibility. And I really love that you said this. When I was studying exercise phys in the 80s, like, we didn't even talk about exercise endocrinology. I bought the first textbook on exercise endocrinology. And I worked with a doctor, Dr. Diana Schwarzbein, back then, putting on seminars, because I was like, why aren't we talking about this? If we're doing chronic cardio, we are actually going to start to lose some muscle, raise stress hormones, create more oxidative stress. It's more aging. Now, that doesn't mean don't do any cardio, but what's the right amount of cardio? And just like with diets, I always like to say diets are tools. Choose the right diet for what you're trying to accomplish. And same with exercise. Exercise can be is a drug. It can be therapeutic or it can be destructive. You have to do the right dose based on what you're looking to do. And that really starts with knowing your starting point, which is, what are we going to try to accomplish here? We need to know hormones. Like, are we someone who's chronically stressed, high cortisol? Then there's like, or if you totally burnt out your adrenals, we're going to need to do something different. The last thing I'd want you to do is a whole bunch of like zone two training when you've got burnout adrenals. This would not be a good thing. where is your muscle mass? Is your muscle mass high or low? Like, what do we need to accomplish? How's your VO2 max? You know, and what's cool is you can do a lot of this testing now, and it's pretty simple to do. How's your flexibility? Because all of these things matter when you start to really dig into it. But if I was going to just say, okay, blanket, what are the key important components for someone going through perimenopause? And by the way, if you're going through perimenopause, I liken it to all I can tell you on the other side. So you're right now on a paddleboard and you paddled out and you went, oh my gosh, because I live on a canal in Tampa, and we'll paddle out and it looks like it's calm. And then you get out to the bay and it's like, whoa, 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 you know, it's bouncing all over the place. That is perimenopause. And every once in a while, the wind stops and you're like, oh, and then it starts again. And you're like, what is going on? And then one day the wind just dies down and everything's great. And that time after perimenopause, like you go into postmenopause, is like the greatest ever. It's so good. So it's coming. Just everybody write it out.
Oh, everybody says this. It's like you can't write it out. Decide.
I know. And like write it out, but you have the things you can control now. And what can you control? One of the things you control is really your exercise and how to use those things therapeutically. Now, resistance training, there's three components of it. Why do we do resistance training? Because we want to make sure that we're either maintaining or better yet increasing our muscles, right? Hypertrophy. But we also want to make sure that we're doing the same with our strength and our power. And actually, those are three different types of training. For hypertrophy, it's more of a volume thing of working in a specific rep range. It's kind of shifted from when I was in school, when it was like a really tight rep range. Now we know it's somewhere between 6 and 30 reps, multiple sets with about a 60 to 90 second rest break will get you there. And I like to tell people, you know, do 8 to 15 reps. And everything's dictated by form. You never go heavier if your form fails. That's always your limiter. But if you go in, you warm up, you do a light set first just to show your body what's going to happen. And so like, let's say I'm doing something like a squat. I'm going to go in, warm my body up. That could be as simple as just walking up the stairs to the gym, right? Get your body temperature up, do a set of squats with just the bar or just the body weight to get yourself going. And then you start to go heavy. And if you can't get to 8, lighten it up. If you can get to 15, make it heavier. Take about 60 to 90 seconds, do it again. That's the hypertrophy formula. And the big thing I have people do in any of these things is focus on compound movements. I actually took core right out of it because I realized that if you're doing things like push-ups and squats and pull-ups, you're using your core and deadlift. And, you know, people always ask me, how'd you get those arms? I go, not by doing tricep extensions, by doing push-ups and dips and overhead presses, by doing pull-ups. Yes, we should all be doing pull-ups. And if you can't do a pull-up, do a flexed arm hang or use those pull-up machines that they have at the gym that will assist for you.
Or a band.
Band of a rose, right? Or bands, but you get yourself there. And especially I love a flexed arm hang because that will work on your grip strength. So that's the formula for hypertrophy. 2 days a week is sort of minimal. 3 days a week would be better, alternating days. And I do, you know, usually I'll tell people to do, depending if it's they're doing it all in one day or splitting, anywhere from 2 to 4 exercises for each body part. So upper body pushing, things like a chest press or an overhead press or a dip, upper body pulling, things like pull-ups or bent over rows, upright rows, and things that involves hip hinging. So squats, deadlifts, lunges, step-ups. Now, the strength part of it, I will throw this in like maybe once every other week, I'll do a strength day. Don't like it. However, it is what you can do in 1 to 5 reps. You know, and with the hypertrophy, you're really trying to get as close to failure as possible. And most people don't even come close. You want to be like 80 to 90% to failure. On the strength days, you got to get right up to it. So you warm up, you do a light set, and then you'll do like 5 to 6 sets of, and I'll do 4, I'll tell you though, of 1 to 5. And then you have to take a rest, like 3 minutes. You have to take a break, 3 to 5 minutes. Go do something else, do some flexibility work, et cetera, and then repeat it. So I'll do that like every other week, just because I know that I need to do it. Don't like it. And then
who likes it? It's really, I agree. I'm the same. I do it. I don't like it because it's so hard. And like you said, most people don't get there. And but that's where the true magic happens. And the growth hormone is released, and you do feel exhausted. You, if you're not feeling exhausted, if you're not making like sex noises, like grunting and making stuff, then you're probably not lifting enough.
Make those sex noises.
People are turning around the gym like, who is that woman? Like, I mean, it's embarrassing, but I think it's the only way to really get that hypertrophy so effectively. It's when you think about it, it's so short. It's only, well, you said one lift, two
lifts.
Well,
that's 1 to 5 sets. That 1 to 5 reps, multiple sets, that's for strength. And then, but every week I will throw power moves in at least one of my workouts. And those are things like kettlebell swings. And so it's the explosive, powerful movements. That's the biggest thing that goes. That's us bursting out to get, you know, out of the way of the car. So that's the first part of it. And really where you're going to really build the muscle is afterwards. And so the recovery is key. And so what do we need to make sure of? That we have your protein on board to be able to have the amino acids that your muscles need to do muscle protein synthesis and build. We need to make sure creatine for the win. Women have 70 to 80% of the tissue stores of creatine that men do. And of course, if they don't eat meat, even less. And so I think one of the most important things women can do is get creatine in 3 to 5 grams every single day. If you're vegetarian, vegan, get it up to 5 grams. It'll take about a month to see that unless you load, but it's great for your skin too. It's great for your bones, great for your skin, helps you recover faster.
What about your brain as well?
And your brain. Yeah. My son, who's got a traumatic brain injury, was one of the, like, I have so many things. Luckily he's like, sure, I'll take that, you know, but yeah, creatine is one of the key things that we've had him on that makes a big difference. So that's the resistance side. Now that's, you know, 3 days a week.
I want to ask you, just to go back to the strength training, I think it was Simon Hill. Do you know Simon Hill? He's got a great podcast in Australia. And he was talking about, or maybe it was mental health, but anyways, when you lift heavy, lifting heavy is great. And explain that during COVID, all these bodybuilders were freaking out because they couldn't get access to the heavy weights. And so they were doing the 30 reps. Okay. And like, they never do that. So, and they were still building muscle. So they were happy.
Because that's the range still. I mean, it's not lifting heavy is getting to that point where you get close to failure. So you could do that in 30 reps. You could do it in 8 reps, or you could put on, you know, the Katsu bands or the blood flow restriction bands, and you could do it with a lot less weight. There's so many different ways to get there. You just have to get there.
The only thing he mentioned was that even though it created muscle mass, it wasn't. These were lifting heavy weights were not actually bending the bones in order to protect us from osteoporosis, for example. So it's one of those things you don't want to just do the 30 reps. In my opinion, if you want to also protect the bones, it seems as though that you do need to lift the heavy weight. And then you mentioned some explosive movements like plyometrics. And what's your opinion on that in terms of weights and exercises for osteoporosis prevention?
Here's the biggest thing that I've seen. Like, why do women get osteoporosis? Biggest issue is hormones go down. Well, biggest issue is we're looking at it the wrong time. We need to start looking at this when girls are in their teens and doing bone density. And that's when girls are doing dumb things, you know, because they're following social media and they think they need to. Luckily now the trend's not towards the super ridiculously skinny, but, you know, back when I was growing up, it was like, don't eat, you know, look at the models, and they're not in their a time when you should be really building bone. They're not. So, but we also know, like, vitamin D optimization, good acid alkaline balance with lots of greens, making sure that you're not stressed. Cortisol is going to be catabolic, making sure that you've got progesterone estrogen balance, because estrogen is mission critical for bone density. And then you also need the progesterone on board. So you need both of those. And I'm a big fan of bioidentical hormone replacement too. So there's the first part of it. And I believe that if we are doing what we need to do for muscular strength and hypertrophy, that the bones will be fine, especially if we're doing axial loading of the spine. So what does that mean? So, you know, because I hear people go, oh, it's fine, you're walking for bone density. I go, no, what you need to do to have really good bone density is take dumbbells and stand up and push them over your head. Because when you have weights over your head, you are now loading your spine. Do a squat with a barbell on your back because you are now loading your spine, loading your hips. So that's what you really want to do, is you want that load that your bones then have to respond to. That is super duper duper important. And yeah, any of the power, like the impact stuff, is going to be helpful there. And that doesn't mean that you have to have big impact. It could be as simple as getting some of those boxes and jumping up on them. You don't have to jump back down. You could just jump up. That's great power. You've got some impact and you're doing that explosive move. So those are all the, what I think are really mission critical, is just getting yourself loading your spine, loading your hips. You still want to do a lot of walking. Like, I think if we could just get into the habit of walking after our meals, lower the blood sugar response to the meals, how awesome would that be? And that's long, slow distance. It's where you're going to use the most fat for fuel. Then we do want to do, and what I think is easiest to do is kind of a combo of what I call zone two, hit and sit. Zone two is that area in cardio. It reminds me of back in the 80s when it was like, we got to be in zone. And, you know, it was like that target heart rate range, but it's just where you sound sexy. It's like, you can carry on a conversation, but they're like, what are you doing over there? Right. And I just bring that up because you were sitting there going, I'm making sex noise at the gym. And I'm like, well, that's easy for you to do because you change cities all the time.
So yeah, nobody sees me again. That's true.
I'm like, so she can be the weirdo at the gym, but she left. So they're like, where's that weird chick? She's gone. But, you know, if you think about it, you go, all right, I'm going to do like, so at my house, I have a Peloton, I have a Stairmaster, and I just got this, I'm so excited about this, this self-propelled treadmill. So what can I do? I can get on the Stairmaster or the bike, and I can do some zone two, and I could do it on any of these things, but then I can go into, so you warm up, you get to a point where you're breathy, do that for like 30 minutes, then add in some HIIT intervals, where you go all out for like 30 seconds and then recover for twice as long. All out, 30 seconds, recover for twice as long. Get 4 minutes of that. And then once a week, throw in some sit, which is 10 seconds of pure hell. And, you know, it literally is. And I'll do this on the self-propelled treadmill, holding on, because I will literally go flying off the back, like sprint it out as hard as you possibly can. So you can do this on a bike. You can do this on whatever it is that you literally feel like, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
I have to stop.
That's why it's only 10 seconds.
Yeah. Because this is going to help with a couple different things, like going to help your cardiovascular system, which we know like a mission critical for aging, but it also is going to help your VO2 max, which is another big key thing. And when we really look at this, then we've got the, you know, zone two hit sit, we've got long, slow distance, we've got the resistance. The other part of that formula, and you know, is we go and do yoga one or two times a week. And that is our mindful balance. It's the ability to get off the floor. You know, I love those people that, what's that book that they talked about? Like move like a lion or move like a, you know,
yeah. Anyway, yeah. Like moving people. Like animals or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but the ability to get off the floor is one of those, or balance on one foot is really one of the other indicators for, you know, all cause mortality. So when I'm in yoga, because I was literally in yoga going, why are you having me like on my hands with my feet on my knees on my this is stupid. And then I went, oh no, this is mission critical. I've got to be able to balance on one foot. I got to be able to get off the floor. And so it's not like you're going to do that at home. Go to a class and do that stuff. And you'll be amazed at how much better you get at it. So that piece needs to be in there too. That's to me, that perfect formula. And yes, you know what? It takes time. And I know everyone keeps talking about, oh, but you can do this. No. You need to make time for yourself. You need to make time for yourself because you know what? If you don't do this now, what's going to happen when you can't push yourself off the couch? Because the next step of not being able to push yourself off the couch is you can't push yourself off the toilet. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to go having to call my husband. Can you help me? No, thank you. No.
That's, yeah. Another great tip would be to go live in Japan for a while, because then you'll see how they incorporate it in their life naturally.
They squat. I remember I lived in Japan, taught aerobics there, and everyone's squatting. Oh, wow. And then those toilets that are holes in the ground, which are very hard to navigate in stilettos. And, you know, and it's like, holy smokes, and sitting on the ground. Yeah. It's like, but they're 80 doing it. I was having trouble doing it at 25.
Kind of ridiculous. Exactly. Well, we don't have time to go into nutrition because I have more questions about the food that we eat to build muscle, because I know you have to go in 3 minutes. So I want to ask you what you would like. If you want to share information about your book, I could talk about your podcast for days.
The book is just being written. So what we did is we actually did my whole thing, this mantra is eat protein first, because the studies show that if you eat protein first, you actually make better food choices, you eat more vegetables, etc. But the reason I want people to do this is I've heard from so many women, I can't get that much protein in, because I tell people it's 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of target body weight. Now I can't get it in. I'm like, yes, you can, if you eat it first. And so I created a protein calculator for you to figure out exactly what you need. You know, if you're a vegetarian, depending on your age, if you're injured, like I just went through surgery, I cranked up my protein. When my son was injured, I cranked up his. So that is at jjvirgin.com/protein first. The other two things that are important, number one, creatine. Number two, if you're increasing your protein, take protein digestive enzymes, things that have things like betaine, right? And proteases, because if you're not used to eating that much protein, your body's downshifted. You need to get it back up. And then I'm a big fan of also adding essential amino acids to cover my bases, especially in the morning with that first meal when I break a fast, to make sure that I've got optimal leucine on board to trigger muscle protein synthesis. So that's another little cheat, a little hack to make sure that you, let's say that you're eating plants, you know, you've got to be really good if you're more plant-based to make sure you're getting the leucine that you need on board, right? Because that's where you start to get into trouble. So that's the other thing that I use there to help me.
I know you have a lot of supplements that you create yourself, and I've been dying to try them, but I'm in Europe and I can never get a hold of them. You have creatine, right?
We're coming out with creatine and essential amino acids, but here's the deal with creatine. I'm coming out with a special formula that's going to have something else in it that helps with bone building and menopause and all that. Like, it's a very proprietary thing. It will be ready early in January. However, creatine monohydrate is a commodity product. Just buy creatine monohydrate. That's the one you want. It's like the most researched supplement in the history of supplements. By the way, most women, like if your weight goes up, it's because you've got more intracellular muscle water. Awesome. You want that. That's fantastic. That's why we have to use a bioimpedance scale. So we got to get off that, oh my gosh, my weight went up. It's like, if your weight goes up because you put on some muscle or you put more water into your muscle, win, win, right? Winner chicken dinner. So you want that.
Thank you. I think we need a part two, because I just like totally want to go into the nutrition side too, but I'm going to have to let you go. And I'm going to have links to all your information, your Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. It's always JJ Virgin in there somewhere, but I'll have those in the show notes, as well as your website, jjvirgin.com, your podcast. Everybody's got to go listen and learn from you in your podcast, Well Beyond 40, the Aging Powerfully podcast. Love that name. I'm going to have links to the protein calculator, and I also have a link here to Ultimate Health Roadmap. Is that something?
Oh yeah, that's kind of a like, what the heck do I do next?
Okay, cool.
I'm overwhelmed. What do I do first? What do I do next? Yeah.
Okay, JJ, before I let you go, do you have any last words for a woman going through menopause?
Yes, ride the storm. Like, I look at it now and I was so freaked out at the time, but really, I think the best way to go through menopause, and there was a book written by Uzi Reese way back when that helped me with this, is going and taking a hormone test is a snapshot in a moment in time on the ocean. It's not going to really give you the information. You have to get so clear on how you're feeling, because you are going to be your own hormone balancer as you're going through this. And the better you are really having great adrenal health as you go through this, the easier this whole thing will be. So be kind to yourself. I love Dr. Joe Dispenza. I've become a huge meditator because of him. And he always says, have compassion and care for your beautiful self.
Oh, I love that. Wonderful. Well, thank you, JJ. I so appreciate you and everything you do. I cannot just give you enough praise. And I'm a huge, huge follower and fan. So I hope to have you on again for a part two, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. It's been so fun to connect with you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.